Okay, we're still in, we really have finished the Shaila, original Shaila, of what is the law when a person benefits without causing a loss to another person, after bringing five different Mishnaic sources, we were able to not prove anything, but we were able to show that according to the opinion that says that you don't pay by Vizena and Vizela Chaser, you do pay when there's certain losses that you cause the person, although not the biggest losses in the world, let's say blackening the walls or things like that, for using which cause a certain type of a loss, etc., etc., or if the person is already paying to build walls that's forcing the outer fellow to have to spend more expense and things like that. Then we had a statement from Rav Ami in point number 26, who says he holds a straight out, you don't have to pay. There were other people who weren't sure yet what the conclusions were, and in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, we concluded that he need not pay as well. So therefore, we basically are concluding that the psak is Zenahena Vizelo Chaser, this one benefits, the other one does not lose, that you do not pay in the conventional case where the home is not a new home, and the person would, even though the person would have paid money to rent it, but be that as it may, as long as the person suffers no loss at all, then you don't have to pay. So now we're going to deal with a few more, let's go and call it the loose ends of this sugya. Here we're up to point number 36, where there's going to be a few statements that seem to be contradictory, and then a few other ideas that will close up this sugya, and then I got to work on writing up all the conclusions over here. So let's continue now in the Gemara. And then hopefully we'll finish that and start a brand new topic tomorrow. God willing. We're on Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph 21A1 top line. There we go. Sholach le Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda le Mori Barma. Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda sent a shaila to Mori, the son of Mar.
And he was not a rabbi.
Well, it's not Mori. He's a rabbi of the Gemara, but not Rabbi. It's Rabbi Abba, but he's Mori Barmar. Okay, so he sends him the following, he requested the following. And he said, Boy Mine, when you have a chance, ask the following Shaila me Rav Huna. Rav Huna is your Rebbe. So ask him Rav Huna the following Shaila. Hador b'chatzar chavero shalo midaite. If a person lives in another person's courtyard without his knowledge, do you have to pay or not? It's all relating back to our Shaila. Although the question isn't very clear, Shaila, we don't know all the circumstances. Is he benefiting? Is he not benefiting? Is the guy losing? Not losing? But anyway, rents or not. So it says, ask your Rebbe. So the Ada Hachi, but in the meantime, by the time Mori came to his Rebbe, Nach Shavshay, the Ravuna passed away. So we couldn't get the Shaila answered. Okay. So, very interesting, like, why we have to know this. Maybe you might be wondering why Rav Huna didn't weigh in on the issue. I don't know. Amar le Rabba, here we have Amar le Rabba bar Rav Huna. So even though Rav Huna passed away, but Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, answered Mori bar Mar. In other words, he came and said, sorry, my father's not alive anymore. But I'll answer the question, because assuming that I guess the father taught him what the laws were. And that's what he says. Hachi Amar Abba Mori. Thus did my father, my master say, and this is Rav Huna's psak. He said two things. The answer to your question, and then he adds one more thing. Number one is, Eino Tzarech Lahalos Lo Schar. You don't gotta pay. right? That's
straightforward.
That's the first. You don't have to pay. Let's try it again.
Well, that's different.
Yeah, you gotta be really careful just not to touch anything. Let's try it again. 1 minute. Just give me a second. When it gets in these moods, you know, I think starting tomorrow, I'm going to take off the colors. I'm only having this because the colors.
I know. I take the colors off. That's yeah. I think take them off. Don't need them.
Oh, back on.
Well, no. Afterwards, it'll take me a few minutes to. Let's just do it slow. Okay. You don't got to pay. But then he said a second thing. And this is an unusual statement here. Vasocher bayis meruve. And my father also said, if somebody rents a house from Ruvain, malaschar leShimon, you pay Shimon.
Huh?
Yeah, you pay, if you rent from Ruvain, you pay Shimon. So the Gemara says, what? Shimon, what if Shimon have to do anything? If you're renting from Ruvain, why are you paying from Shimon?
Right.
Well, it was a very abbreviated statement. And he meant to say a little bit more. It's missing in between the lines. Hachi kamar. This is what he meant to say. This is what he means. Nimtza habayis shel Shimon malaloschar. If Reuven rents out Shimon's place without even telling Shimon what he was doing, the guy's trying to, you know, there's an empty.
Sublet.
Not sublet. This guy walks over to Reuven and says, "Oh, I see an empty apartment there." Says, yeah, he lies. Says, that's my apartment. Says, can I rent? Sure, you can rent it, that's fine. So Reuven rents out, but really it's Shimon's apartment, and then we find out it's Shimon's apartment, so now you gotta pay Shimon. Okay? Because obviously it was Shimon's apartment. Now let's think about this for a minute.
So who's gonna pay him? Reuven collects the money already.
Well, no, he didn't collect it yet. Like he rented it. And then he rented, and let's say, pay me at the end of the month.
Right? Oh, okay.
All right. Or even if he collected it, then Reuven's got to take the money and give
that's
it to Shimon.
That's what I mean. So Reuven has to pay.
Either way, the point is the rent goes to Reuven.
To Shimon.
Shimon.
Yeah.
All right, but what's the point? So there's two halachas that Rav Huna said. The son said, my father said, number one, if you rent a place without permission, you live in a guy's place without permission, you don't got
to
pay. A. B, if you go over, if Reuven rents out Shimon's place without Shimon's knowledge, you gotta pay Shimon.
So you would think.
Do you see any contradiction in the two?
Because somebody else rented it out.
If you just said if the guy goes into Shimon's place without telling him and not telling anybody, you don't gotta pay anything.
Yeah.
So what's it any better now than Reuven goes and rents it without permission? Well, let's say Reuven never got the money, so why should the renter have to pay Shimon?
Yeah.
How is it any different than taking it without Shimon's knowledge?
The premise is he's going to pay. The premise is
But that's a contradiction between the first halacha he said.
I'm saying Reuven is going to benefit.
Forget about Reuven getting money. That's throwing you guys off over here. Reuven gets no money. Okay, he's getting no money. That's the point over here. The point is, you're letting this little point get you in the way over here. Reuven rented it out to X, right? Reuven doesn't get any money. Forget about it. He doesn't get any money. The point is, though, the money goes to Shimon. Okay, that's the point.
He has to pay Shimon.
I don't care.
No, the renter.
The renter is paying Shimon.
Shimon, that's it.
So the problem is, how is that any worse than if Reuven just walks in by himself, walks in and lives in it by
Reuven
himself.
Is not there at all, yeah.
Why is it any better that Reuven, who wasn't allowed to give permission, gives permission?
That's a good question.
And now he has to, why does he have to pay Shimon at all?
How's they explain this?
It says he's starting off as a tenant.
By whose right?
Well, is he a squatter or is he planning to rent him?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We already know the halacha is if I would normally pay rent, but I just go in there anyway. Zenahenev is elochaser.
Yeah.
So what does it matter if he even rented it out? What does it matter? Do you understand the problem?
Yeah, Reuven's not in the picture.
We passing. Rav Huna is paskening that if you benefit, that means you would have paid, but you're not paying.
Yeah.
And the other guy obviously would not have rented it out. Selo chaser. He says you don't pay.
That's it.
So what does it matter now if Reuven sticks his nose in here and pretends like he's the owner? Well, then why should the guy have to pay?
So let's find out.
So that's what Mora asks. Mora says, it appears to be a contradiction. Tarti, are these two rules not conflicting rules?
Yes, they are.
If the tenant rented Shimon's house from Reuven, then Shimon did not know that the tenant had taken up residence there. How then can Rav Huna say that the tenant must pay rent to Shimon? If Rav Huna just said that one who lives in another fellow's yard without the latter's house does not have to pay.
That's right.
So, how are we going to answer that question? The answer is very simple. If Reuven is renting it out in the guise of Shimon, then he must know it's a rentable property.
Well, we have to assume that.
Well, you know what? If it's not a rentable property, where's the guy just having stam the chutzpah to tell the guy to go into the guise?
Why not? Make an extra buck for nothing.
Okay, there's limits as to chutzpah. For example, you go up to cottage country and there's big signs, apartment for rent. Oh, you know, it's a hotel, it's apartment for rent. So you can see the guy says, oh, it's for rent. So I'll be the guy saying it's for rent, and I'll lie. But if it's Stama house that's not for rent, it's an incredible chutzpah for the guy to just say, yeah, I'm gonna rent it out. He doesn't know what's going on over there. This is what's going on over there. So that's how they're gonna answer the question. It's two different scenarios. With the second case why he has to pay, it's a case to Kaim Lager. It's a place that is for rent. It was normally rentable. And therefore, Shimon does lose by the fact that someone's in there because nobody's going to call to rent it if they see somebody's there. But the first case where he said, you don't have to pay, it was a non-rentable house. That's what the notes say. Certainly then, the tenant must pay rent to Shimon since the case of this one benefits and this one loses. The tenant is a person who usually rents, as evidence of the fact that he was actually rented the house from Reuven. The guy loses because it was a rentable property that can't be rented when the people see there's people in there. Okay.
What's the first ruling there? When you said, forget Reuven, take Reuven out of the picture, and the guy who moves in and there doesn't have to pay Shimon.
Because that is being where it's a not rentable property.
But we just said Shimon's place is rentable.
That's the second halacha. He said two halachas, Rav Huna. Yeah. Rav Huna says you go into
a... about Shimon's house.
Rav Huna said two halachas. Halacha one. If somebody goes into a courtyard without permission, he doesn't have to pay. That is a case where it's not a rentable house.
Right.
Fine. The second case Rav Huna said is if Reuven rents out Shimon's place to Levi, he has to pay. That's the case where it is normally a rentable house. That's why it's not a conflict.
Okay.
In the second case, it's normally a rental house, and Reuven goes in there. You have to pay?
Yes.
Yeah, Reuven pays. That's what makes it rentable.
Then it's Zet Chaser.
Because
then you're causing a loss. Then you're causing a loss.
So if it was rentable from the beginning, then the first guy would have to pay rent. The second guy who's going to rent it from the third guy's going to rent it from the second guy is still going to have to pay. What's the difference?
And the first case
between the two cases?
Yeah, what's the difference?
Because the Gemara is saying that the first case of Rav Huna is speaking where he would
not have, the
owner would not have rented it.
We assume that in that
it's two separate cases.
Yeah.
So the first case, the owner would not have rented it.
Would not have rented it, so you don't have to pay.
Wasn't up for rent.
He's not losing any money.
So Reuven now gets...
Now we have a second case. Why are you mixing up two cases here?
Because they are.
No!
I don't see
the first case. One rentable, one is
rentable. They're two separate cases.
One isn't, so one case he doesn't
here.
In the other case he loses out.
Right.
Listen, look up here. Set top line. Hador b'chotzer chavero shelo midaito. If a person lives in a guy's courtyard without his knowledge, does if they're not. The Gemara says it's a case where the owner would not rent it. Would not rent it. Therefore, you have not caused them any loss. Rav Huna says to that case, you don't pay. He answered, you don't pay. Now, my father said a second law. My father set a second law. If the guy rents from Reuven, he pays Shimon.
Right.
Why? Because that's a case where Shimon normally does rent it. And the fact that the guy is in there, he causes a loss to him.
Yes, that's right.
Therefore, they're not conflicting laws.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in that second case, Reuven would have to pay rent as well.
Reuven is paying rent. He's already renting there for Shimon.
Reuven is not living in the apartment.
Well, if he did.
Yes, he is. He's, that's why he rented
it. Well, if he did, but he wasn't in there. No, it wasn't in there. It was an empty apartment.
But that doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
Guy goes over. Mr. X sees a little thing. It says apartment for rent. He goes over. Guy sends. He says, "Hey, do you own this thing?" Reuven, who doesn't. He says, "Yeah, I own it. Can I rent it?" "Yes, $100 a month. Fine. You pay at the end of the month. Fine." He moves in so all the month. Now they find it belongs to Shimon. So you pay the $100 to Shimon. I don't understand.
There's no big, yeah, exactly.
That's what we were saying the whole time.
We're in violent agreement.
What? There is no Chiddush. They were just relating to Psak Halachas. But it is interesting. We're now seeing a case where a guy rented it without permission. Right? That the money just goes to him. That's all. That's all we're saying. No.
And that goes to the first.
We are so thoroughly knowledgeable here that there's no chiddushes for us.
But this guy, Levy, would usually pay for rent, therefore he has to pay.
Okay, next story. Okay, but what came out of all this give and take? Rav Huna is a third opinion that says you don't pay for Zenehen of his Elohoser.
Okay,
we've now bought three rabbis who say you don't pay for Zenehen of his Elohoser. It's just strengthening the proofs. Okay, now another similar type of scenario. Amar Rav Chiya bar Avi Rav Rav. Rav Chiya bar Abba, in the name of Rav, says, and some say it's somebody else, V'amrila, and some say no, it's Amar Rav Chiya bar Avi and Amar Rav Huna. The Rav Chiya bar Avi said in the name of Rav Huna. The machlokas, who Rav Chiya said it in the name of. And he said the following, similar type of scenario. If you live in a guy's place without permission, again, it's a case where he normally doesn't rent it, you do not pay. And look at the next line, it's going to also seem to be a contradictory line. He said two halachas that seem to be contradicting itself. And what if a guy rents a house from the people of the city, from the townspeople? Okay. So, from the townspeople, malaschar lebalim, you pay the rent to the owner. Again, it's a case where the owner didn't know.
It's the same as the Shimon.
Right? So again, same question. Balim, my avidite. What are we talking about? Rent from the owners. Who's an owner of it? You rented it from the townspeople. Same case. Hachi kamar, nimsalo balim. If you find that there is an owner, malin lo schar. You pay the guy his rent. So more I ask the same question. Tarti, aren't you contradicting yourself? One law to the next? The answer is no. The second case where you pay the owner, Hodakai Malagra, that's when it's a rental property. The first case we don't pay, Hodakai Malagra, it's not a rental property. Fine, finished, simple. So, but the point more is giving you a preponderance of opinions that are clearly saying you don't pay. Okay, now another, continuing with a few more details of this law. Amar Rav Schoira, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Rav Schoira says in the name of Rav Huna, in the name of Rav. Okay. Hador bechatzer chavera shalom midaito ein sarach lalos lo schar. If you live in a guy's property without them, you don't gotta pay. But now he's going to offer us a little bit of a proof from a pasuk.
As long as the property is not for rent.
Yes, what we're talking. That's what we're assuming here.
Yeah.
Why? What's it based on? Now here's what's going to be interesting. Now mishum shenemar, because there's a pasuk in the Torah that says ushiya yukas shoar, which means through desolation the gate is broken apart. What does that mean? This is the source for house sitting. Meaning to say, a vacant house is broken apart by the demons of destruction. In other words, if you leave a house empty, they're mazikim. There are damaging angels.
Yes.
Now this is when you're leaving the house like out nowhere's for land. We're not talking about in the middle of a condo there. But anyway, so we're saying, or alternately, and Shi'iyah tears down the gate of the vacant house. Okay. Thus, one who squats in a vacant house that is not for rent actually benefits the owner by staving off the forces of destruction. Accordingly, he need not pay rent to the owner, for it is a case of this one benefits and this one benefits. In other words, he's saying something more now. What are you talking about? I helped you out. No damages because I was there. Now, however, if the house were for rent, however, you have to pay the owner, since he would have deprived the owner of a legal tenant who would have protected the house and paid rent as well. So therefore, you can't say, well, you normally rented it, but I benefit you. What are you talking about? I could have had somebody rent it and I'd get money and it would ward off the demons for that. Now, let's see what the brackets. Rush holds that the reasoning advanced by Rav Schor in the name of Rav is merely an additional support for Rav's ruling exempting the squatter from paying rent. It's a very important point. It's an additional point. The primaries, however, is that one who benefits need not pay if the owner has not lost anything. In other words, the Russians want you to make a mistake and think, oh, it only helps when you act as a squatter and you needed someone to fill it up. What if I didn't need anybody there? Then maybe you'd have to pay. No. He's saying you don't pay because the basic law is you didn't lose. I don't have to pay.
Yeah.
But now we're just adding. It's an extra layer of reasoning. Even if we could refute this extra layer, for whatever reason, basic reason is standing.
Pay, yeah.
The basic reason, even though I benefited, you didn't lose anything,
I don't
gotta pay.
Yeah.
But I'll give you an extra point to spice it up a little bit, and especially since the fact that you really did benefit to a certain point. So therefore, he's just added another layer of why the guy should not pay. That is one statement. Now, Omar Mar Bar Ravashi. So Mar, the son of Rashi, said, "Lididi chazili, I myself saw this demon. I've seen it once. Umenagach kitura, and he destroyed it like a bull, like bull in a china shop. In other words, I saw once the demon do it, went into an empty place. So it's a real thing." Some explained that Mar Bar Ravashi was actually referring to the natural disintegration of the planks and beams in a vacant house caused by wood-eating insects. He used the exaggerated metaphor of a rampaging bull to convey the house fell into a state of ruin so extensive could not have been greater had a bull been battering the walls and roof. Okay, anyway, that could maybe also part of the demonic nature, that it's just the insects that are eating everything. What was that bug in Canada?
Beetle in Canada, or whatever.
Okay, so that is one additional layer that we can add. Yeah.
If I take your pen and I pick it up and use it without asking, I'm in effect stolen it, even though I'm going to put it back.
Yeah.
Right? Now, if I go into a person's house, I can't acquire it because I can't pick it up. But if I pick up anything in that house, aren't I in effect stealing
it? It could be, but what are you picking up?
If you go in the house and you, I don't know, you pick up the mattress and move it or something.
But there's nothing to pay.
I'm a ghana if I take your pen and then give it back.
So, okay.
And I use his facility, but I can't acquire it, pick it up.
So there's two separate halachas here. There's the halacha of rental. There's a halacha of using personal effects. That would be a separate halacha. The personal effects, you'd be a ganef, but there's nothing to pay because you're returning it. So you could be a ganef, but we're not talking about using the personal effects. That's
okay,
a separate realm of halacha.
Am I ganef if I go in and use it?
Use what?
I just go in and stay out of the rain. That's private.
No, because you haven't touched anything.
You're not.
You haven't touched anything. What have I taken? Have I taken anything?
You haven't taken anything. You're not a ganef.
Okay, let's look at the next case. Next idea. Similar concept. Rabbi Yosef Amar. Rabbi Yosef says, I'm going to tell you what the additional benefit is. Not have to do with the demons, but rather, Besa Misva Yosef. An inhabited house remains habitable. All right? Meaning to say, look at the notes, for the residents see what needs repair and attend to it. In other words, if you're there, you see the faucet's leaking a little bit. You fix the leaking faucet. You know, sometimes, you know, have you ever heard the stories where people left the house and all of a sudden, for a month, and one of the pipes burst, and they come back, their house is totally flooded. I know, but what if there's no insurance?
What I'm just saying, the insurance companies say you have to have someone there once a month, once every 2 weeks.
That's whatever. Business.
So we're saying, but it does happen, you know, catastrophes happen when you're not home because you're not watching the, you know, the slide of the upkeep.
That's what
so they're saying. So the guy is living in the house. He's housekeeping it from potential destruction. So there's another layer of what benefit the fellow gets. Yeah. Now, Gemara just wants to know, well, what's the difference between these two reasons? One being the demon, you're keeping the demon away, and the other one is saying, well, you're keeping the upkeep. Right. They're giving two separate reasons. Is there any practical difference between those reasons? My benayu, what would be the difference between those two reasons of additional reasons why you don't have to pay? Where it says, Ika Beinayu, that we could offer the following difference. The Kamishtamesh Bey Bitsivi Vitivna. The difference is when the case where the owner was using the house for storing wood when the squatter settled there. What does that have to do with anything? What's the difference? Since the house was being used, the demon's instructions were obviously banished. In other words, even if using it for storage already, demons don't go into storage. They go into an empty house. They don't go into a place with storage. But since you did not live in it, it did not necessarily receive maintenance. According to the first reason, then, the squatter did not benefit the owner by moving in, whereas according to the second reason, he did. In other words, there seem to be two reasons, you know, but sometimes one reason will apply and the other one won't. If you're storing it up, there'd be no demons there, but by being there by making sure nothing breaks, then that would be the reason that would be applicable. Okay, fine. So we have additional reasons why you don't pay. And one of them would apply for sure. Okay, one more story, I believe. Hahu gavra debana apadna akilkalos. Make up your mind, no? Akilkalos adiasmi. There was a man who built a mansion on a dump site owned by orphans.
What?
Orphans inherited a dump site, and the guy builds a mansion over there. Okay. So, Agve Rav Nachman la padne minei. Rav Nachman took away the mansion from him. Now, why did he take away the mansion from him? He held it until the man would pay the orphans their due. In other words, the orphans were unable to pay the builder who was entitled to for improving their... What?
Yeah.
The orphans were unable to pay the builder that he was entitled to for improving their property, so he could not take title to the mansion itself, though it had been built on their land.
Yeah. But it just said that the man had to pay the orphans. First sentence says that the man would pay the orphans. Then it says the orphans weren't able to pay the builder.
So I guess the story is like this. The guy built it for the orphans. They didn't have the money. The guy built the thing.
No, he said for himself.
Yeah. Was
didn't it say for orphans.
Himself? Let's go back.
He said he built that mansion for
back.
Himself.
Let's go back. No, he built a mansion on a dump. He didn't say for himself.
Owned by the orphans, but it didn't say for the orphans.
No, well, we're telling you that's what it is.
We're
saying that's what it is.
He built
the mansion. The kids say, we ain't got the money. He said, fine, I'll live in it till you pay it.
Okay.
Right? Right? So what did he say? Rav Nachman took the mansion from him. And therefore, in other words, he says he has to pay the rent. He says, okay, you're living in the house. You're living in the house. You're not letting them go in. I understand. You're not going to let them go in. They didn't pay. I understand. But now you went and lived in there. Well, you got to pay the orphans.
Wait a minute. He built the house for the orphans. Why wouldn't you let him stay in there?
He built it for the orphans. Built it for the orphans. The orphans are the owners, per se.
Right.
The orphans didn't have the kid. They hadn't the money to pay yet. Right? So they couldn't take title.
Did they ask it for it?
They couldn't take title yet. He built it. They have to pay him, and they couldn't take title yet. So the guy figures, I'm going to live in the place until they're there. So Rav Nachman held it until Milam would pay the rent. The guy figures, if it's empty, I might as well pay the rent. It's not that much different than the guy when the house fell down, the guy on the top lived in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So anyway, so he made him pay. Now what should happen is the orphans should pay for the mansion, right? But then they're going to deduct from that what the guy lived in it. So therefore, in other words, Rav Nachman says, forget it, you can't live in there. And listen, you got to pay the money that you owe. So what would we think? What do we think is coming out of Rav Nachman's psak regarding the halacha of Zenehen of Zelochasr? So Lema, let's say, Kesava Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman holds, maybe holds, Hador b'chatzar chaver shlomi daita tzarchos oschar. Person who lives in a person's property without his permission, he's got to pay. Right? At this point, the Gemara assumes that the land was not being used for anything when the man built his mansion there. Right?
His mansion?
Okay, it's a confusing case here. So, because obviously, you know, the kids weren't going to use it. They didn't pay yet, so they didn't lose. The guy's benefiting. Still, Rav Nachman says he has to pay.
That's very confusing.
So they for building the
Who
mansion.
Who asked them to do that? Why did he go ahead and
so the Gemara's going to say that there is a loss over here. Gemara's going to say, Hahu, this case, Meikora Karmi Havi Dairibe. No, the land had previously been inhabited by Karmanians.
Who?
People from the province of Karmania.
That's close to Romania.
Okay. So the land had been previously inhabited by these people. The Yahavi Luhulias made Davar Mu'ad, and they used to pay the orphans a nominal fee for using the land. Uh-huh. Whereas they let these guys put their tents up over there. Therefore, by displacing the Karmanians, the builder caused the orphan a loss, albeit a nominal one, and should have had to pay them the full amount of his benefit. That is the normal amount for the right to build a mansion on an equivalent land. In other words, I guess it must be he built the...
For himself.
I'm not exactly sure, but then
what an equivalent land has to do with that?
I don't know, but anyway, the kids did seem to lose because they were renting it out to these Karmanians, and now the fact that he built and he's living there, they are suffering a loss because he didn't. They couldn't rent it out to the Karmanians.
Okay,
right.
I don't know.
Amar Lay. So therefore, Rav Nachman said, "Zil paisin liyasmi." He said, go and appease the orphans, give them the compensation that they will find acceptable. Right? Now, the rush is, although this amount is less than the full benefit to which they are entitled, the court has the right to push for a compromise that attains for the orphans less than their full entitlement. In other words, they're not making them pay the full rent, just pay them the fact that they lost the minimal rental from the Karmanians. That's what he said. But then what happened? V'lo ashkech. So then he didn't listen to Rav Nachman. The guy said, I ain't paying him nothing. So then, Agbe Rav Nachman la patne. So therefore then, Rav Nachman took the mansion away from him. So in other words, it was a case where the guy built the mansion there. For whatever reasons, Rav Nachman wanted him to pay, we thought, for the rental of the mansion. Okay? And therefore, why should he pay? The kids didn't pay yet. Right. But it seems, I guess, he built it in that spot, particularly without telling the orphans. Maybe he's building it for the orphans, but he didn't pick the right spot. He said, I'll build you one on your property. Pinked it on a spot where the kids were renting it out. So therefore, Rav Nachman said, pay the amount that they lost. And I ain't paying nothing. So therefore, he held it and said, I'm not giving you your mansion back until you pay. So since he didn't pay, so we thought the payment was to pay rental. But the fact is, it's not rental. It was just to pay for the loss of the Karmanians who didn't pay. But still, so there's no proof from that story. So what have we concluded? We've brought about four or five ladder rabbis who all agree that if you use a property without permission, there's no loss. You do not have to pay. And cases where we saw you did have to pay, there were other circumstances involved, either with loss or something else. And therefore, you don't have to pay. And we are done with this sugya. We start a new two dots. Tomorrow, Mr. Shen.